You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Wednesday, July 30th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thank you for joining us on today's show. We got a jam-packed Russ Belville show for you. Plenty of great guest news and information for you over the next couple of hours, so stick around. You might learn something before we're done. On the show today, joining us by video Skype later on at half past the hour, we've got Cheryl Schumann joining us from the Beverly Hills Cannabis Club. She was recently featured in a cover story in Adweek, the trade journal of marketing and advertising, talking about marijuana branding. So we're going to take a look at marijuana branding and the emerging green rush. Also, Cheryl's got news on a forthcoming reality show and very excited about who she'll be working with. We'll tell you all about that at half past in our Ladies of Legalization segment. Also on the show today, we're continuing our look back at the Michigan Cannabis Cup last weekend in Clio, Michigan, at the Auto City Speedway. We spoke with Rory Gould, who won 3 Cannabis Cups, a first place, a second place, and a third place at the Cannabis Cup, and we talked to him about his dispensary, Arborside, in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Also, we caught up with my fish-killing buddy, Mike Booten, from Discovery Channel's Weed Country. We got to talk to him about what he thinks is going on in Michigan and around the country in marijuana legalization. Plus on the show today and behind the headlines, we'll have a chance to do a little bit of a flashback to a 1993 study on stoned driving that tells us everything we need to know to settle this debate still 21 years later. But first, we start off with the 420 radio news, and joining us from stormy Colorado, we've got Priscilla Simon out there. How you doing, Priscilla?
I'm wet. No, I'm just kidding. I'm dry.
Yeah, it's
Everything's all. It's been stormy. We've been having rain. It's been good though.
Yeah, we're gonna go audio only on our connection just because of the storms make it a little dicey on a good internet connection. But Priscilla will bring us the 420 radio news coming up right after this first break. And in the headlines today, the DEA has launched Operation Shattered in Washington State to go after home BHO extraction. We're also going to talk about how the Oregon Legislative Revenue Office has estimated lower tax revenues than what Eco Northwest estimated for Oregon legalization. We've got some lobbying by the ski industry about edible labeling in Colorado. Decriminalization in New Mexico's 2 largest cities are updated in our news today, and the media is just going head over heels for marijuana legalization, the latest newspaper to jump in on the bandwagon opposing adult marijuana prohibition is the Washington Post. We'll tell you all about their latest posts in the headline news, so stay tuned for that. And then in hour 2, Toker Talk Radio will bring you more highlights from that Michigan Cannabis Cup. Plus, we've got a guest in studio, Randy Quast from Minnesota Normal, will update us on what's happening in the Gopher State and the great upper Midwest as far as marijuana legalization and medical marijuana goes. All of that coming up on today's Russ Belville Show, brought to you by some great sponsors. Check out the ads coming up in between our segments and make sure you support these sponsors. Let them know you appreciate their support of Public Marijuana Talk Radio, a serious look at the news and the people involved in marijuana legalization from coast to coast and around the world here on the Russ Belville Show. Stick around. Priscilla Simon is back with the news right after this.
Voice of the Marijuana Nation.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the Ustream video app for Android and iPhone. Go to rad-r.us/420Ustream or just click the Ustream app icon for Android or iPhone below the live radio feed at 420.
Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz thinks it's okay for medical marijuana patients to go to federal prison. On May 30th, she voted against an amendment that would respect Florida's new laws and protect Florida's patients. Even though 88% of Florida voters support medical marijuana, why would Congresswoman Wasserman Schultz vote to send patients like this to prison? Is Congresswoman Wasserman Schultz out of touch with Florida?
The Jody Emery Show with Jody Emery from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Replaying Fridays at 1 Pacific on...
I don't use marijuana, but as a teacher of 36 years, I can tell you lots of other people use it. I don't believe in prohibition. I don't think it works. Prohibiting it hasn't stopped anybody from getting a hold of it. I would like to see it regulated so that maybe kids can't get a hold of it so easily. I know they get a hold of it now very easily. I support a new approach to marijuana. I support legalizing it. It's with us. It's not going to go away. And if we can get money through the taxation, we can also educate our kids about it. That's why I support it.
It's time for a new approach on marijuana. NewApproachOregon.com. It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Priscilla Simon.
Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in. It's your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, July 30th, 2014. The DEA launched Operation Shattered in Washington State last week to crack down on Washington residents manufacturing butane hash oil, otherwise known as BHO, at home. Eight Washingtonians were named in the federal indictment concerning open-loop indoor extraction explosions in four cities that injured many and led to the death of the former mayor of Bellevue, who broke her hip trying to escape the resulting fire from a nearby explosion. But on Monday, King County law enforcement raided the home of Debbie Breckler and Josh Mock, the owners of Homeblown Concentrates. While the two operate their extraction business at home, they use the closed-loop system in an outdoor setting, which has not been shown to lead to explosion. Nevertheless, quote, home-based manufacturing of THC remains illegal under state law, even with the passage of Initiative 502, end quote, according to Mark Lindquist, Pierce County prosecutor. Breckler and Mock are charged with reckless endangerment, manufacture of a controlled substance, and unlawful possession of a firearm, and remain in police custody.
You know, this is a really tough issue that we're going to have to get in front of. I read the indictments over the eight people that were involved in these explosions, and it describes, you know, toddlers being put at risk and people being burned and jumping from their second floor apartment to escape flames. I mean, this is not going to play well for marijuana legalization in the future if we continue to have stories like this, and if we continue to have the DEA going after, you know, home open loop, you know, concentrate makers, going after the closed loop makers as well. It's against the law in Washington State, but this seems to me a little bit of, you know, let's decide what exactly it is, why we're upset about this home manufacturer. If it really is about the explosions, then wouldn't we want to encourage people to use closed loop systems, to encourage them to do it the right way, to do it outdoors in this scenario, at least to provide some way of perhaps licensing and inspecting people that want to do this at home. We are talking about a situation in Washington State, and according to all reports on Breckler and Mock and their company, they were making concentrates for medical users. They weren't involved in trying to supply any sort of recreational black market use. They were, you know, helping out the quasi-legal dispensaries there in Washington State. And according to the testing that was performed at various labs at various times for their product, we're providing a very pure, free of contaminant sort of product. So that's the kind of manufacturer that we should be trying to encourage. I'm not saying this should just go without any sort of regulation. We definitely have to have some sort of regulation, inspection, make sure people are doing this thing safely. And I don't know about, you know, how big this should go if we're talking about residential production, because, you know, people are uncomfortable with the idea of flammable solvents and potential explosions in their residential neighborhoods. There's got to be a better solution, though, than just rounding people up and throwing them in jail like we always have.
The Oregon Legislative Review Office is estimating tax revenues from legal marijuana to be just 41% of what legalization proponents predicted. A study commissioned by New Approach Oregon by the firm Econ Northwest estimated annual tax revenues of $38.5 million in the first year of its proposed marijuana legalization, but the LRO is estimated only $16 million. The legislature's estimate predicts fewer pot tourists than Econ Northwest does, and no immediate drop in prices, concluding that two-thirds of Oregon's tokers will stick with their black market sources, where Econ Northwest estimated only 60% would stay on the black market. LRO also estimates that regulatory costs for the Oregon Liquor Control Commission would total $7 million, bringing the next revenue down to just $9 million per year.
Yeah, all right. So it might bring in $38.5 million in taxes. It might bring in $16 million in taxes. It might bring in a net of $9 million taxes. No matter how you slice it, it's infinity percent more than what we're bringing in now.
Exactly.
We're bringing in zero now, right? Well, let's bring in something. And the only thing I fear about this is how the opponents will paint this as, see, the legalizers are promising pie in the sky, and it's not really going to be that good. They're already trying to do that with Colorado, you know. They already said, first it was this high, and then it's only a third of what that estimate was going to be. So what? It's still money coming in. It's still more money coming in than when you had it prohibited, and you were spending money trying to bust people and jail people and test their piss for marijuana. This is the argument that just doesn't make any sense when you really think about it. If there's costs associated with marijuana, we're paying them now, we're taking in no tax dollars, and we're spending more to try to keep it prohibited. Even if it's a wash, even if it's just a break-even proposition on the tax revenue versus the costs, we're still doing better than the negative outflow that we've got going on under prohibition.
Yeah. Lobbying by the ski industry has now forced Colorado regulators to invent new icons for designating marijuana edible potency. The state task force, tasked with regulating labeling and packaging of edibles, had suggested copying the signage associated with the difficulty of ski runs: green circles for easy, blue squares for medium, and black diamonds for expert. But Colorado Ski Country, the trade group for ski resorts, doesn't want to be associated with marijuana in any way. They lobbied for and got added to the regulations a ban on marijuana products being labeled with, quote, signs or symbols associated with another Colorado business or industry, end quote. Read broadly, this could mean edibles couldn't be distinguished by numbers of stars or thumbs up, like rating movies, any numeric scale, like rating hotels, or even terms like mild, medium, and strong, like salsa or coffee. I guess we'll have to stick with what we know, like on a scale of Cheech to Chong. How high is this going to get me?
I think this package has 1.3 chongs. You know, they go so far out of their way. You know, the other silly part about this, you know, and this happens whenever medical states come up and they start talking about labeling edibles, is they don't want them marked with pot leaves. You know, they'll say you can't advertise with a pot leaf. We don't want pot leaves on the store. And for God's sake, don't put pictures of pot leaves on the edibles. Why? What better symbol could you have to explain to someone that, hey, this thing's got pot in it? Everybody knows what the pot leaf is. Even kids know what the pot leaf is. Instead, we're going to force them to come up with some brand new symbol and then have to teach everybody what that brand new symbol means. It's just ridiculous. I liked the idea of the double black diamond Chiba Chew. I thought that would have been pretty cool. Oh, well, I guess we'll have to come up with something. Good thing that marijuana leads to enhanced creativity, huh?
Exactly, yes. Decriminalization initiatives for the November ballot in New Mexico's two largest cities are facing opposite outcomes. Officials in Santa Fe on Friday certified about half of over 7,000 signatures submitted as valid, but the 3,569 valid signatures are well short of the 5,763 needed to make the ballot. However, City Clerk Yolanda Vigil said petitioners still had almost two more months to submit the 2,194 remaining signatures. Also, the Santa Fe City Council tonight will consider approving the initiative, which would reduce marijuana possession to a mere $25 fine. Meanwhile, in Albuquerque, activists on Monday turned in over 16,000 signatures for what they were told by the city was a goal of 11,203 valid signatures. Yesterday, City Attorney David Turek said the city made a mistake in arithmetic and supporters actually need 14,218 valid signatures. Even with the mistake, the city clerk staff estimated about 57% of the signatures were valid, putting the Albuquerque effort on pace for roughly 9,000 signatures. Monday was the deadline for Albuquerque signatures.
I call shenanigans. Shenanigans! This is definite shenanigans. Okay, so the deadline's on Monday. You told them they needed 11,203. They turn in their 16,000 signatures. And then on Tuesday you go, sorry. It's really 14,200, not 11,200. That's shenanigans, folks. And if they've got official records of this, you know, where the city website or official documents came out and actually said they only needed 11,203, then that should be what the standard is. And I sure hope they're able to sue regarding this. Now, I think they'd be in a better position if they had the 11,203 signatures they need. I mean, if they turn in 16,000, but they're only going to get like 9,000 valid ones, they wouldn't have made it under 11,000 or 14,000. So I don't know if that would affect their chances any in the lawsuit, but this just seems completely unfair. And what a letdown for the guys that are working so hard in Albuquerque. It is good news, though, that we will get to do some reporting from Santa Fe, it looks like. And remember, on Tuesday, November 4th, 420 Radio will be bringing you exclusive live coverage from Marijuana Election Night 2014 with live reporters in every place that will be voting on marijuana in 2014. So make sure you check that out in November.
Nice. Marijuana prohibition just can't catch a break in the media these days. While the New York Times continues its excellent series of pro-legalization editorials this week, and while the Los Angeles Times has been exposing the scam of drug courts, the Washington Post's Wonk blog has been battering prohibition with pesky facts and science. In Tuesday's column, former Pew Research and Brookings Institute data journalist Christopher Ingraham explains how, quote, medical marijuana opponents' most powerful argument is at odds with a mountain of research. In it, he shows how the what about the children scaremongering used by Florida's opponents of medical marijuana flies in the face of 15 years of data showing medical marijuana laws don't affect teenage marijuana use rates. In today's, quote, the federal government's incredibly poor, misleading argument for marijuana prohibition, Ingraham eviscerates the ONDCP's response to the recent New York Times editorials calling for legalization. For every argument about marijuana's effect on developing teen brains, he notes, quote, same is true for alcohol and tobacco, and, quote, that's a solid argument for a minimum age and moderate use, end quote.
You know, I am just thrilled to see the New York Times, the LA Times, the Washington Post echoing sentiments that I have been espousing on this show for the past 5 years. I guess I was ahead of my time a little bit, but these are the same things I've been saying for year after year after year, that every argument the government gives us for the prohibition of marijuana is a better argument for the prohibition of alcohol and tobacco. And the Wonk blog did a fine, fine job of pointing that out, just knocking them down one by one, saying, yeah, that's a good argument for, you know, keeping it out of hands of kids. Yeah, that's a good argument for a minimum age. Yeah, that's a really good argument for moderate use and not doing stupid things under the influence. But none of the arguments are a good argument for keeping it banned for adults who use it responsibly. And that's really what it's all about. as so long as we don't have the same rights as alcohol drinkers and tobacco smokers, we're not truly equal, and we'll keep fighting for the legalization that gets us to that point.
That's right.
All right, folks, that sound means that it's 4:20 in the Mountain Time Zone, so the residents of Colorado are required by their constitution to engage in a certain sort of herbal celebration. We don't want to keep you any longer, Priscilla. Go have some fun.
All right, I appreciate it. See you tomorrow.
Talk to you tomorrow. Coming up next, we go behind the headlines and flashback to the 1993 U.S. government study on stoned driving. We've settled this argument long ago.
420 Radio is 24-hour marijuana.
Join us for the International Cannabis Business Conference September 13th and 14th in the Portland Ballroom at the Oregon Convention Center. The International Cannabis Business Conference will focus on the emerging cannabis industry in Oregon, the United States, and around the world, putting you in front of the industry's foremost entrepreneurs, political leaders, and attorneys. Also showcasing over 40 cannabis-related industry exhibitors, offering VIP lunches and free nightly networking events. Prepare yourself for America's next great industry.
What the authorities should do is decriminalize pot use. You want to do it in your house, not bother anyone? Fine. Go outside with a joint or a pipe, you pay a fine.
A majority of voters support changing failed marijuana laws. Legalization and decriminalization are mainstream solutions. We are the marijuana majority. MarijuanaMajority.com.
Are you a hypocrite? If you live a closeted cannabis lifestyle, you are. Read about seven people living a closeted cannabis lifestyle who are on the verge of coming out in The Hypocrites by Mara K. Eaton. Available at areyouahypocrite.net. You can purchase the book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, also available on iTunes. Check out Mara K. Eaton on Facebook as well. Learn more at areyouahypocrite.net. At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. 23 after the hour in time for us to go behind the headlines. And on the subject of many people's minds lately in public and the policymakers as marijuana becomes re-legalized is this topic of so-called stoned driving. Fears of legal marijuana opening the floodgates to a rash of stoned mayhem on the freeways led Washington's legalizers to include a per se limit. You're guilty of DUI if you're over 5 nanograms of THC per milliliter of blood. While Colorado's legalizers didn't add any stone driving limit in their amendment, political pressure culminated in the adoption of a permissible inference limit. You're probably guilty of DUID if you're over 5 nanograms of THC, but you can argue your innocence. Now, these stone driving limits are a solution in search of a problem. As roadway accident and fatality stats have never been lower. Besides, they are unscientific and unjust as, quote, driving impairment cannot be predicted by prevailing blood plasma concentrations of THC or THC carboxy, the inactive marijuana metabolite, end quote. That's the conclusion of a study conducted by the U.S. government's own National Highway Traffic Safety Administration 21 years ago. The November 1993 report entitled Marijuana and Actual Driving Performance was prepared for the U.S. Department of Transportation. The authors, working at the University of Limburg in Maastricht of the Netherlands, performed one pilot and three actual driving studies in highway and dense urban traffic conditions and found that, quote, THC's adverse effects on driving performance appear relatively small and, quote, drivers under the influence of marijuana retain insight in their performance and will compensate where they can, for example, by slowing down or increasing effort, end quote. Now, it's not that marijuana isn't impairing behind the wheel. Nobody's suggesting you rip a few bong loads before heading out on the road. But, quote, the impairment manifests itself mainly in the ability to maintain a steady lateral position on the road, the authors wrote, but its magnitude is not exceptional in comparison with changes produced by many medicinal drugs and alcohol, end quote. Basically, driving high means it's harder for you to maintain your lane position. However, the authors are clear about the much more significant driving danger posed by alcohol, noting that, quote, THC has relatively minor effects on driving performance, certainly less than blood alcohol concentrations in the range of 0.08 to 0.10, end quote. The authors found that marijuana's effects on that steady lateral position measurement, quote, were equivalent to those associated with BACs in the range of 0.03 to 0.07, end quote. Or in other words, equivalent to a drinker who's not automatically presumed to be too impaired to drive. They continue, quote, THC is not a profoundly impairing drug. It does affect automatic information processing even after low doses, but not to any great extent after high doses. It apparently affects controlled information processing in a variety of laboratory tests, but not to the extent which is beyond the individual's ability to control when he is motivated and permitted to do so in real driving, end quote. You got that? That means, yes, it can be somewhat impairing, but not beyond the ability of the driver to control. This is our federal government saying this 21 years ago. And the relevance of those laboratory driving simulators was also doubted. The authors noted, quote, it appears that performance is more affected by THC in laboratory than actual driving tests, end quote. They further highlight the difference between the self-awareness of drunk versus stone drivers, noting, quote, alcohol-impaired driving performance, according to the driving instructor, but subjects did not perceive it. Marijuana did not impair driving performance, but the subjects themselves perceived their driving performance as such, end quote. That's that well-known tendency of marijuana-using drivers to slow down, leave more distance between cars, and brake earlier. Now, while anti-legalization crusaders will tout these studies saying that marijuana doubles your risk of car crash, they always leave out the fact that those same studies show about the same doubling of risk for drivers with antihistamines or penicillin in their system. And the authors knew that all the way back in 1993, writing, quote, THC's effects after doses of up to 300 micrograms per kilogram never exceed alcohols at BACs of 0.08 and were in no way unusual compared to many medicinal drugs, end quote. Now, we've painted ourselves into a bit of a corner by insisting that we regulate it like alcohol, because now the public wants to know where the equivalent of the breathalyzer is for marijuana. But by pointing out that our own government for 21 years has accepted that, quote, it appears not possible to conclude anything about a driver's impairment on the basis of his or her blood plasma concentrations of THC determined in a single sample, end quote. Maybe, just maybe, we can extinguish some of these stone driving myths. All right, folks, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we got a special guest on the line. Cheryl Schumann from the Beverly Hills Cannabis Club is here to talk about her cover story on Adweek, the Journal of Marketing and Advertising, and a great media project in the works. Stick around. We're back with Ladies of Legalization next. We'll be right back.
connected to the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, the activist radio station.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
The International Cannabis Business Conference takes place September 13th and 14th at the Portland Ballroom in the Oregon Convention Center in Portland, Oregon. Featured speakers include Oregon Senator Floyd Prezansky, U.S. Congressman Earl Blumenauer, Daily Dish blogger Andrew Sullivan, author Doug Fine, and Harborside CEO Steve D'Angelo. To learn more, visit our website at internationalcbc.com.
420radio.org is proud to replay Free Weed from Danny Danko with Danny Danko from Brooklyn, New York. High Times Magazine Senior Cultivation Editor Danny Danko answers reader questions and discusses grow tips, security do's and don'ts, and reports on the latest High Times events. Catch the replays Wednesday at 1 Pacific on 420radio.org.
The Marijuana Business Association, or MJBA, are proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show. It is the mission of the MJBA to establish integrity and legitimacy, create common market standards, provide market intelligence, and develop best ethical business practices for participants in the emerging legal marijuana industry, including commercial hemp, medical marijuana, and recreational marijuana for adults. Learn more about the Marijuana Business Association and visit MJBA.net to join today. That's MJBA.net.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com.
In 1929, Pauline Sabin began the women's movement to end alcohol prohibition. 4 years later, the 21st Amendment was passed. Women are crucial to ending adult marijuana prohibition, and we celebrate women's marijuana activism in a segment we call Ladies of Legalization.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 33 after the hour, and joining us by live video Skype from her palatial Bel Air estate, we've got Cheryl Schumann on the line.
More like my chaise lounge from my living room in my corporate apartment after smoking a really nice fatty.
There you go.
My dearest old friend. I was just looking at my pictures and stuff. Do you know we've known each other now since 2007, Russ?
Yeah, I was just realizing it's been about 7 years.
Yeah, and you know what? We've been through a lot together, and I have to tell you, I'm looking at you. You're like totally transformed. Isn't it funny how you know we've been on this roller coaster of life, of activism, and watching the evolution of the industry. I remember when that little baby was first born and the businesses first started to pop out.
We've been there for the whole ride, and it's been quite amazing. And I've been following your career and how you've kind of gotten a lot of mainstream attention for this, mainstream media attention through your appearances on various shows. We got the whole list online, but lately you've made the splash in the marketing and business world through this cover story that was just in, was it this week's Ad Week, pointing you out as the first pot marketer. That's pretty impressive.
Yes. Well, the first thing I have to do, I have to first say, I never got a chance to really formally accept my Activist of the Year award last year at Hemp Fest. So I want to say thank you to the Hemp Fest people for standing behind me this year. God bless you. I hope to see you in Seattle when I get there. But Yeah, you know what? It's been a wild ride. You know, I come from the business world. I've always come from the marketing PR world, you know, primarily here in entertainment. And I remember when you and I first met, I said, you know, we had talked about it. Why isn't mainstream covering this? And that's when I started being really obnoxious and taking my camera everywhere and getting as much video as possible. Because as you know, and you and I spoke about this, we have been watching history in the making this entire time. And that's why I felt it was so important to document it all. And that's why I do so much video and so much social media, because my philosophy is you keep putting it out there and eventually it makes a difference. And I remember when we first started this entire rebranding campaign, because the way I see it, marijuana got a bad reputation back in the 30s. And, you know, it took a woman, you know, as I heard the commercial earlier, Pauline Sabin, to overturn alcohol prohibition. Now you see women basically leading the movement and being extremely influential in overturning cannabis prohibition. And that's what's so exciting. And it makes me just literally want to get up every morning. I've got my cannabis and my coffee and I'm off to start the day because I can't wait to see what's next, because literally every single day there's a new state doing this, a new strain that's working for Dravet syndrome or epilepsy or what have you. And what I really love is seeing more and more people come out of the closet every single day that finally feel like they can. And you know, we do these TV things, and even after this Adweek thing, I got so much email that said, just thank you. Thank you for allowing me to feel okay, especially people that are living in illegal states. You know, you and I both know being able to be open and out of the closet about being a modern cannabis consumer, it's liberating. And my God, what a great thing if you can live a life of authenticity, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the Adweek article as well, talking about branding, it talked about a bunch of companies that we're familiar with, Diego Pellicker and Dixie Elixirs and a bunch of others. But it brought up a subject in branding, in talking about that California Heritage Market that you were a part of there, that farmers yes. market, that yeah. in the cannabis community, we've always, you know, had our particular favorite strains, or we prefer a sativa or an indica, or maybe, you know, a sour diesel's better than an OG Kush or whatever. But it's kind of like apples, right? I like a Granny Smith apple. I don't like a Golden Delicious, but I don't care which farmer grew that particular Granny Smith apple. I'm not paying attention to that as a brand. It's kind of fungible. So what are you counseling people and explaining to people as far as what they need to do if they're a cannabis grower in this new legal market to distinguish themselves from anybody else who can grow sour diesel or whatever?
Well, let me give you a couple of examples. I mean, first of all, I'll start with what we did at the Beverly Hills Cannabis Club. As you know, I mean, cannabis clubs, dispensaries are actually banned in Beverly Hills. So what we had to do is start a garden, you know, specifically where, you know, our little buds are hand-tended by me and by Amy and, you know, our family. I mean, we're literally in there. So it's that TLC that make them proprietary strains, private reserve strains, because you're basically buying the story and the love and the care behind what goes into it, plus the research of all of everything that we've done, you know, from being in Israel and working with the University of Jerusalem to working with Tikkun Olam and some of the top dispensaries literally all throughout the United States, whether it be in California or Colorado or Washington. But let's go back to the farmer's market. One thing that was very interesting about the farmer's market is it was an idea that was by one of the Prop D compliant dispensaries here in Los Angeles. And they approached me literally 10 days before the event. And they said, Cheryl, we really would love to do a gathering where we can get all of our patient providers to come together and then kind of have like a farmer's market. I said, that sounds great. I love this idea, right? I said, well, how many tickets do you have sold? How many booths do you have that are people ready? And he said, none. And then he said, how many people do you think will show up? And I said, I have absolutely no idea. You're talking about a miracle here. We have no money for advertising. You've got Kush Expo happening on the same weekend, which has spent hundreds of thousands in marketing and advertising. I'm thinking, if one person comes, I will be happy. But when it ended up happening, we put the press release out, and this really shows the power of social media and the power of your networks and the power of branding. People really loved it. We had over 4,000 people that showed up the first day before we even got there at 10 a.m. We had over 70 media outlets from all over the world, and we ended up generating $5.7 million worth of earned media. And it was just phenomenal. The problem was, you know, the police came, I took them around on the tour, and I'm the kind of person, I'm like, hi there, I'm Cheryl Schumann, how are you? Welcome to our farmer's market, right? You know, so I took them around, And here's an example of trying to teach people who are patient providers, who are small mom and pop little gardens, on how to brand themselves. So I took the police around and I introduced them to this one guy whose name was Steve, and he's an Iraqi war veteran. He lost one of his legs, and now he's able to supplement his income by getting extra patient donations for the extra cannabis that he has left over. And because of his veteran background, he has found a specific strain that works incredibly well for his phantom limb pain, right? Which he has because he's an amputee. Plus, he also suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder. So this patient provider or gardener, who's also an Iraqi war veteran, he has two strains that are specifically packaged and marketed towards veterans who are suffering from these particular ailments. Then we go on to the next booth. We have this absolutely stunningly gorgeous, could have been Cameron Diaz twin, right? Absolutely gorgeous. Looks like a supermodel. And you look at her and you see her little miniature cookies with chocolate chips and everything in them, with the little pink bow and the little gold foil ribbon that I helped her make. And, you know, the media looks to her and they're like, she doesn't look sick. Well, she doesn't look sick until you see the chemo port in her arm. And she's actually terminally ill. And she grows for six other end-of-life patients who are all 25 or younger. And this is their branding because they have specific strains and specific formulas in their tinctures that work really well for patients who are end-of-life patients, so they can, you know, get through their stress of the day, and not to mention the effects and after effects and side effects of chemo and radiation. And that's who they're marketing to. And when you make a patient donation to this particular group, that also goes to help them with their overall living expenses and that sort of thing. Instead of just having everything white labeled and so forth. And so in a way, I feel really bad because the farmers market unfortunately got shut down. So we're starting an effort right now to save the market, Russ. It's time for me to get out the bullhorn, just like I used to when you and I first met. And I'm going to whip up some people. And you know what? It's not over yet, because we have every intention of being within compliance. We have every single intention of allowing these patients to have a form of congregation and fellowship, which is very important, because when you're seriously ill, one of the biggest issues is the isolation and, quite frankly, the expense of the meds. So we were able to get, you know, absolutely beautiful organic flowers and so forth for patients who are literally a fraction of what it would cost. And what else is really nice is, you know, there was this one lady there, her name was Beverly Johnson. She was like in her 80s, absolutely amazing woman. She grabbed the microphone, she starts belting out a tune, and it was really cool because it was a really great sense of fellowship and family. And really what I thought was cool, because, you know, I'm 54 years old. I'm not a dabber, I'm not a backpack carrying blowtorch blowing, you know, so for me, it was kind of nice to see people that were my age and that I could relate to. And I love working with the veterans. I love working with the other cancer patients. And I just really enjoyed it. So what we're doing is we're going to be flying in some of the best international experts. One gentleman by the name of Norton Arbelez, who is the founder of the River Rock Wellness Dispensary there. He also sits on Governor Hickenlooper's advisory boards and task forces. He's friends with Jared Polis. And he's going to come in and see what we can do to perhaps bring this group up to be the very first role model and try to implement a true seed-to-sale regulation system here with them as the guinea pigs, or the hopefully role models, where we can actually hopefully be an aid in changing the policy that's so desperately needed here in California. I mean, Lord knows, we are still the wild, wild west here. And when I see what Colorado has done and what Washington's doing and what Portland's about to do, it's like, come on, California, let's get with the program, right?
Who'd have thought California would be the last state on the West Coast to legalize marijuana?
I know.
Hey, before we run out of time, Cheryl, I also wanted to make sure we got a chance to talk about your exciting new media project with Fremantle and one of my favorite producer, director, writer, actor, stars, Morgan Spurlock. What can you tell us?
I just wanted to show you my plant.
Very beautiful plant, too, by the way.
Well, you know something, it's really kind of sort of funny, because we've had a development deal for quite some time now. We are represented by William Morris Endeavor, which, thank God, is considered royalty in the entertainment world. And you know, as you know, Russ, I've always had a vision for what a TV show would be in the cannabis industry and what it would look like and smell like and feel like. And it took me a long time to sort through all of the different production companies, and everybody had their own idea of who we are and what we do and all that sort of thing. So I'm really glad that we held out. We met Morgan originally on the marijuana mom versus addiction expert on right. Pierce Morgan's Live. And what was so funny is on that show, he said, "You don't know it, but you and your daughter are going to be huge TV stars." And I laughed because little did he know at that time we were already under contract and I just couldn't say anything.
Oh.
So, and it's been that way for a while. You know, it's taken quite a long time to negotiate our contract and that sort of thing. But the one thing that I'm very, very proud of, I think Morgan Spurlock is just an amazing human being. I love the work that he's done, both with Harborside and with Inside Man. And just he's an outstanding individual. He's originally from Parkersburg, West Virginia area, so we have a lot in common as far as being coming from humble roots and really trying to make a difference in the world. Mm-hmm. And then Fremantle Media, of course, is the largest, most successful production company in the world. They're most famous for
American Idol,
like little shows like American yeah. Idol and X Factor and that sort of thing. So I can't speak about specifics about anything that we're doing. I can just tell you that it's officially in development, and wow. we've been shooting a lot. And I'm continuing to shoot a lot of stuff even when I'm out on my own, because I'm also proud to say that I'll be an executive producer on any projects that we're working on. And it's very, very important, I think, to maintain the integrity of the entire industry and of the movement. And I really hope that people appreciate that I'm an activist first, but I'm also a businesswoman. And I really feel that we have to support people who are building successful businesses in this sector, because it's those successful businesses that are going to create jobs and revenue to give back to the community instead of someone coming in that really doesn't care. And yeah. we care.
Absolutely agreed. Cheryl Schumann, you can check out everything you need to know about Cheryl at cherylschumann.com. We look forward to any forthcoming shows, and great job on the Adweek story. I think it's really opening a lot of people's eyes.
Thank you so much, Russ.
All right, when we come back, we'll have time for a little bit of highlight coverage from the Cannabis Cup in Michigan, Mike Booten, from another reality show, Weed Country. It's reality show day on the Russ Belville Show. Be right back.
Wait, you look fantastic.
Thank you.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, the home of marijuana experts.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
Radical Russ here at the High Times Cannabis Cup in Clio, Michigan, and we are joined by a guy who keeps following me from coast to coast and now in the middle of the country, Mike Booten from the Discovery Channel show Weed Country, and now the Robert Platshorn show Meet the Experts, like two or three of them now, right?
Yeah, three of them, and you know what? See, I'm telling you, Russ, I'm a new breed of whatever you want to call it, but it's weed stalker.
Weed stalkers, yeah, and yeah. And Neil Franklin,
weed
too.
Weed stalker.
We keep ending up where Neil Franklin's at, too.
No, yeah, well, you know, that's interesting you say that, because, you know, every time I go to one of these events and I know that, you know, people of that caliber are going to be there, then I know it's going to be a great event.
Yeah.
And it is. You know, Neil brings a lot to the table. You know, you bring your expertise to the table. Bring a little cultivation to the table. Rory from Harborside, who I know you just talked to, who I'm hanging out with up here in Michigan, you know, he brings his expertise to the table. And really, I mean, there's a lot of expertise all over.
Yeah.
And I know that you know from being all over that there's a lot of leg hiking going on, but I find this Michigan Cup here there might not be as many people at a big California Cup, but the level of camaraderie, the level of just, you know, real, you know, everyday blue-collar folk.
That's it.
It just, this place oozes that, you know what I mean? So it's a lot friendlier. And seeing as how the weed's just as good.
Good meet everybody.
Right? I mean, so I'm enjoying it quite a bit. I know Tawny is. She's wandering around here somewhere, but that was her takeaway, was that, you know, these Michigan people are really, really great people, friendly people. The weed is amazing. The concentrates are good, and so we're having a heck of a time.
Yeah, and as far as Michigan's got its medical marijuana law, California's got its medical marijuana law, when you're telling, you know, giving people suggestions on growing to stay within a medical law, oftentimes they got plant count issues and stuff like that.
Right.
What kind of advice do you give people?
Well, you know, I hate to officially tell people to cheat and fudge, but kind of something, you know.
But hypothetically speaking.
Well, I mean, but kind of sometimes you have to, because, I mean, let's just face it. You know, if you're going to be blooming off a certain amount of plants and you got those from a mom and you need some vegetative plants to replace them, you know, I just think the cops can be smart enough to look at a setup and say, well, I can see what this is producing, and I see that based on your paperwork here in this household, you know, yeah, you guys would be doing pretty good to be taking care of your needs. They can just walk away. Yeah. Plant count's a terrible way, I think, to determine how much marijuana a person needs.
Yeah, oftentimes, you know, it's like those questions like, how big is a dog? Well,
right.
It depends on the dog.
Sure, right?
How big is a garden? How big is a plant? How much is going to be enough for a patient? Well, it depends on a lot of circumstances.
Exactly right. And to tell you the truth, it's one of the things that, you know what, I've as part of the Do You Want to Grow Some tour, some of the things that we teach people, listen, I don't try to reinvent the wheel. There's a lot of good grow information out there. There's a lot of good grow books out there, which, you know, I was a student of them myself at one time and still to some extent am. But the fact of the matter is that it's all very, very complicated if you don't know, have any tools to approach it, to make decisions with. And so what I found out was, if you're going to want to grow marijuana and you're willing to answer a few W's first, then that'll make all the other questions easier to answer. Like, for example, why are you even growing marijuana? Well, to save myself money. Well, okay, maybe you might not be able to save yourself money, okay?
Yeah.
Well, so...
Especially first time out.
Right? But for the flow chart, you know, why is important. Number two, who, where, indoor, outdoor, with what. When you start walking that flow chart out, it becomes easier to know how to answer the questions about growing marijuana.
Right, right. And we're speaking with Mike Booten. He was the star of Discovery Channel Weed Country. And what's next for you? Any media ventures we might see you in?
You know, I really don't know. I think that I'm just going to continue, you know, doing educational stuff, especially, you know, through MikeBooten.com. Right now I know that in August here, as soon as we get done for Michigan, we're going to drive out to Maine. We're going to do a couple of seminars there, one in Bangor on the 9th, and then on the 17th in Portland. And, you know, I got to tell you the truth, I just did that here. I did a class for Arborside, and I asked the question, how many people here have grown marijuana before? And everybody but two people raised their hands in the room. And so I was sort of a little bit nervous. I thought to myself, wow, this is going to be a tough crowd. But the truth of it was, is that, you know, there was a lot of quality experience and growers in there, and out back when we were smoking afterwards, I asked everybody, you know, hey, I'm a no BS guy. Y'all know that, so don't, you know, jerk my tail. But did you get at least one or two things, a takeaway that you didn't know before you came to the class? And they all enthusiastically agreed, yeah, absolutely. So no matter what your level is, it's really geared for people who want to start with not very much knowledge and learn how to take care of themselves and other people, and do it in a way that bypasses a lot of the common troubles that people run into learning how to grow marijuana. But there are also some really, really mountaintop peak tips in there that experienced journeyman growers can benefit from too. So MikeBooten.com.
Check that out. MikeBooten.com. MikeBooten.com for more information. And, of course, Did they ever release like a DVD set or anything of that Weed Country stuff?
Did no, they never really did, but they're going to play it until the cows come home because it was cheap. People love the show. they constantly play it everywhere, which I don't mind because I really think that, you know, I take a lot of pride in the fact that not because I say it, but because people who I respect greatly from all kinds of different walks of life have said to me that they really think that Weed Country changed the conversation.
Yeah.
We were going somewhere. We had a conversation, but Weed Country kind of brought a few things to the forefront and really changed the conversation. And I don't think we're ever going to put the cat back in the bag.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of folks that aren't familiar with marijuana industry or cultivation or medical marijuana, watching in the Midwest or wherever they might be watching, what it did for them is to put recognizable and identifiable personas and faces behind the idea of marijuana growing, where the only fill in the blank they'd ever had before is a shadowy figure or some guy in a mugshot or the shot with all the weed and the guns and stuff, you know.
And yeah, and you bring up a good point because see, the thing that Tawny and I get the most is from people when we meet them, they see some part of themselves in us. And you take marijuana out of the equation, I could live in any town in America, and you would never really, like, label me as anything but just, you know, one of the guys.
Yeah.
You know, I could work down there at the welding shop, drive a Chevrolet, and you'd never know that, you know, that I'm a weed guy. So I think you're right. I think it changed. One of my favorite quotes, and I say it all the time, and if I've said it on your show, I don't want to bore your listeners, but Mark Twain's quote about marijuana, at least I attribute it to marijuana, because it's so true. He said that it's not what we know to be true that's the problem. It's what we know to be true that just ain't so. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And when you think about marijuana and what most people think or think they know about marijuana, it just isn't so. It's not true.
Yeah. And it's just the life of a farmer, really.
Right, really.
It's an American story that's been told with sorghum and sugar beets and all sorts of things.
Yeah, and I've told people before, you know, I mean, we like nostalgia. We wouldn't have museums. We like, you know, stuff, or we wouldn't harken back to it. And when we have this idea of nationalism and what it's like to be an American, and that's a little bit that came out in the show, too, is that idea that I'm an individual. You know, I'm an individualist. I'm a, you know, taking care of my own self, and in doing that, you know, in being the guy that our lives depended on the success of what we were able to do over the course of the season for the people that were principally paying the expense that it took to produce that marijuana. When you would see trouble on the horizon, you don't have to live on the plains back in the days when, you know, a storm could ruin your crop and ruin your entire future to know what it feels like when the same sentiment's on the line from some other, you know, you follow where I'm going. If I don't mean to be tripping over it, but you know, you can get in touch with a lot of feelings that you'll never get with the job.
Yeah. Spider mites.
Right. Yeah, well, those aren't particularly a trouble for us. We really haven't had, I mean, now I laugh at spider mites, and that's exactly one of the things we teach about in our class, is that you never want to have to worry about spider mites again.
Yeah.
Come to our class. I'll teach you how to say goodbye to them forever.
There you go.
Organically.
Goodbye, spider mites. MikeBootin.com. BOOTIN. MikeBootin.com. Thanks, Mike, for joining us. And I understand we have an important safety meeting we have to get to.
Yes, we do. And as always, Russ, thank you for everything you do, man. Thanks for the time. And we'll be talking again soon.
All right. Back to some music.
Yeah. Mike Bootin, been really cool. The last couple of times I've been to Florida, he's been a speaker there at Bobby Platshorn's Meet the Experts seminars and delivered some great talks, you know, just straightforward, straight talk about marijuana growing and what it means to be in the business when you're having to produce for patients from someone who's really been doing it. So great stuff there. We'll have that interview with Rory Gould, a little short sit down with Rory Gould. He won a first place, a second place, and a third place at the Canada Cup. First place for best sativa, and I forget the other two. I think there were edibles and concentrates somewhere in there. So had the hat trick at this Michigan Cannabis Cup. We'll put that in the first section of the next hour, Toker Talk Radio. Also joining us in Toker Talk Radio, we got Randy Quast from the Normal Board of Directors and Minnesota Normal. He's in town and stopped by to say hi, and we're going to get right to that. So stick around. More stuff coming up. Hour two is next, but this is it for hour one for all of us here at 420radio.org. For Big Island Zane, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.